Good morning again. Our scripture reading for today is Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. I figured we would just read all of them together. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, bless the reading of your word. Lord, let the words that come out of my mouth not be for me, Lord, but be from you. Give me the knowledge to speak the truth, Lord, and soften the hearts of everybody in here and open your ears, Lord. And Lord, if I can help this one person today, that's all the glory in the world to you for that. Watch over us this morning, Lord, and keep us safe. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, now the nervousness is over. I'm so afraid I'm going to mess all that announcement and stuff up. Thank you, Wade, for helping me, bud. When we first got up here, he come walking up and he goes, just go sit down. So I said, okay, no problem, I can do that. Thank you. I have had a couple of people ask me, you know, what this sermon was going to be about, and I told them it's a comparison between us and flashlights. And the response I've gotten is, so I tell them, just wait. I promise it'll all make sense at the end. I promise. So I'm going to read this again. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. I used to work at Olin on the fire department. And when all that stuff in Afghanistan started happening, we kind of went on high security alert. And my job, being I was a low man on the totem pole at the fire department, I had to pull guard duty. And my job was to walk the levee behind the place. And I worked a night shift. And my boss came out one night and said, I've been sitting right here for 2 hours, and I have not seen you walk in the levee. I said, I promise you, I have been walking back and forth. I've probably walked back and forth 2,000 times. She didn't believe me. And she said, I should have seen you. Well, she wanted me to walk on the very top of the levee. And I thought, well, you were in the military. You know, if you do that, you're silhouetting yourself. And if there's any bad guys, they can see you. Well, same, like on here, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So it's in plain sight. You can see it. It should be something that's obviously seen. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light for everyone in the house. As Christians, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you don't want to take that Holy Spirit, that wonderful gift, and keep it covered up and hide it. You want people to be able to see that light shining through you. Don't want to hide that. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So we're going to have a little bit of a history lesson. Then we're going to have some meat and potatoes, you know, talk about stuff in the Bible. Then we're going to have a little comedy section at the end. Then a little bit more history, and then we'll wrap it up. I've never seen a lighthouse. I know what they are. You know, it's normally a very tall tower, got a light on top. Its purpose is to navigate ships when they're in the ocean to show them where rocks and where dangers and hazards and stuff are. There are more than 18,600 lighthouses right now in the world. The first American lighthouse was called the Boston Lighthouse. It was a stone tower built by the colony of Massachusetts on Little Brewster Island in 1716. It was lit for the first time on September 14th, 1716, but it was destroyed during the Revolutionary War, but it was rebuilt in 1783, and it still stands to this day. The tallest lighthouse is called Jeddah Lighthouse. It's in Saudi Arabia, and it stands 436 feet tall. Lighthouses are painted different colors, depending on what the background is behind them. You know, if you have like a mountain or something in the background or a big rock cliff, you don't want it being a dark color. You want it to be a bright color, the way it stands out, where people can see it from a distance. J- just like us as Christians, when we have that Holy Spirit in us, we should be something that stands out. Our actions, the way we talk, the way we act, you know, we should have that light shining all the time. We should stand out. We should never blend in with the background. Except when you're deer hunting, then it's okay to blend in with the background.
Bow hunting.
So, in the same way as a lighthouse, our light should be able to direct people from harm's way. Should be able to shine a light on good things to help keep them safe. So, we're going to talk about three ways to let that light shine once you have the Holy Spirit in you. First way is your tongue, controlling your tongue. You read James, it talks about how a great forest fire starts. By a little spark, it's all it takes. This great big monster ship can be thrown around, tossed around by the wind and the waves and the storms. But that big monster ship is directed by a very little rudder, controls the whole entire ship. I'm going to use myself as an example here. I'm going to read this here first. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." I'm going to use myself for an example here. I was at work, this was years ago, and I was a boss then, but we had an upper boss. You know, my boss was there. And I heard him talking with some of his crew members about something that they were doing at his local church. Well, I heard that, and I thought, well, he goes to church. So I went up to him, and I started talking about the church that I went to. This was a long time ago, before I came here. And so I told him about the church I was going to, and I will never forget what he said. He looked me right dead square in the face, and he goes, "You go to church?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He goes, "I've heard what's come out of your mouth. I've listened, I've heard your conversations." He goes, "You could possibly be the only Bible somebody ever reads. And if that's the way you're going to talk, you got some stuff you need to figure out." Guys, I'm telling you now, I'll never forget that. That just sent chills through me again. I mean, I'll never forget he said that to my face, how dangerous your tongues can be. Second one, anger. That's not going to help you shine, but slow to anger. James chapter 1. Verse 19 to 20 reads, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." I think that the emotion of anger is probably the easiest one to come out of us. It is me. You see something on the news you don't like. I don't watch the news. We don't watch the news in our house because it's nothing but depressing stuff. And I'll be over at the in-laws or somebody else's house, and the news will be on. I'll be like, "Why are you watching this? This is just making me angry." Like I said, I think for me personally, that's one of the easiest ones to slip up on. James, yeah, I read that one. Okay, next one, love. Love each other. John 15:12 says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." It's really easy, well, sometimes, but your family, it might be hard to love them, but normally it's easy to love your family. Denny and Cecil are here this morning. I used her for an example. I can't help but just love that woman. She's so easy to love. She comes up to me every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning. She's like, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, she grabs me, you know, and gives me a hug. If you can't love Denny, there's something wrong with you. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. What reward is that in loving somebody that's easy to love? Okay? Luke 6:32 says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them." It's not just loving the people that makes it easy. It's loving everybody. If you're constantly showing love to everybody and you're not, you know, segregating somebody or putting your nose up to somebody, you got to show love to everybody. Now, keep in mind, you have this light, this Holy Spirit is in you. People are watching your actions. If they know, if say you are saved and you have the Holy Spirit and nobody knows you go to church, you're doing something wrong. But if you have that Holy Spirit in you and you're letting that light shine, people are going to notice, and it's not always going to be the person you're talking to. It could be somebody back there you're not even noticing. I'm not pointing anybody in particular. Maybe Gary, he picked on me earlier out front. Okay. Sometimes, this has happened to me, you'll be at a point where your relationship with God, your personal relationship is really good, and you're charged. You're just on fire. But it does come times where that fire and that power, it might need a recharge. You might be going through some hard stuff, and you're kind of getting beat down. Brian was a good recharge for me one time. I was going through something, and I was dealing with something. It was God. I was asking God to give me patience on something, and He was. But by the end of the week, I woke up Friday morning, and I'm like, I looked up to heaven. I said, God, I don't know what's going on. I'm tired. I'm physically beat down. He gave me the strength all week long to stay patient with everything that was going on. But I knew had to be something else I was missing. God, you give me whatever, please. I hate to say it, but I'm tired. I need to know what I need to get out of this. And I called Brother Brian. He talked to me, and I was listening to a song. I'm sitting up top of a tree, probably about 60 foot in the air, hanging from a rope at work. And I'm talking to God. I'm like, God, I don't know what it is you want. You know, what is it I need to learn from this. And I asked Him to give me whatever it was, and He gave it to me. You know, He's been giving me the strength to use my patience. I wasn't showing patience to Him. You know, we're not on my time. I'm on His time. And as soon as I realized that, light switched, and I'm telling you what, all that tiredness and that beat downness was gone. It was completely gone. My battery was like completely recharged. I got to share it with Brian. I was up in, like I said, 60 foot in the air in a tree, weeping like a little baby because, you know, I couldn't believe how good that felt. But anyway, some of the ways that we can recharge our light. Friends, for example. Matthew 7, 13-14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, I've used that as an example when I taught the senior high class. You know, they're all at that age where they're getting ready to drive or they just started driving. So this is how I explain it to them. You know, when you're on a road and you go over too far and hit that rumble strip, it wakes you up. I mean, it wakes you up. Now, in our spiritual lives, when we're on that road, if you start to veer, I always tell this kid, that wake up, that could be a friend saying, hey, I noticed you're going over, you're starting to veer off that road. How about you wake yourself up and get back on there? I'm going to use Tom as an example. While he's doing communion and doing the offering stuff, I guess he noticed something about me. And he called me one day out of the blue. He goes, "You okay?" "Yeah, why?" He goes, "I noticed something different about you. I want to make sure that you're okay." We had a very good talk. Me, him, and Gary. And there was one more. It might have just been us. We went to the back, and I just poured my heart out. You know, the stuff I had on my heart at the time. You know, Tom was my rumble strip. When Dwight Goodrich, Rooster, was going to church here, that guy would just call me out of the blue, out of nowhere. "Hey, Steve, how you doing?" "This is Rooster." And it seemed like every time he called, I was at this certain spot. I always told Rooster, "You're my gasoline on my light, dude. Every time you call, you stick a little gasoline on it, and poof, it comes right back up." So we can use each other, guys, as friends. If you start noticing something, or just a call to see how somebody's doing every day, that is something that can really charge, you know, recharge ourselves. Next one is fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, 5-7 reads, "This is a message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." Fellowship, men's Bible study. One thing I really liked about that class is that John is very straightforward with the fact of what is said in this room stays in this room. We've got to be able to know we can have fellowship and trust each other in case we're struggling with something. Whatever it is, you can get it out. And from the times I've been there,
I even tell you right now, anything that I think I could ever run into in my life and struggle with, there's somebody in that class that I know has dealt with it, who has worked with God to fix that problem. So no matter what it is, if I have an issue with something, I know I can go with him. That's really important to help recharge your life. Now, the women's Bible study, I don't know what you guys do. I've never been invited. I feel kind of... I didn't get that the first service. I guess you're right. But I'm sure it's the exact same way. We've got to be able to have fellowship with each other, you know, honest fellowship to be able to help each other. Because even though this person might have struggled with this and they have gotten the strength to deal with it, they went to somebody else before they, you know, I'm sure they went to somebody before, you know, they figured out how to fix it. You know, our issues and our trials and stuff, it's not just for us. If you can use that, your past, to help somebody else deal with the same thing, that's fellowship, you know. My favorite way to recharge? Right here. If you got any issues, any questions or anything, it's in this book. This is the, I know guys don't read instructions, but all the instructions you need are right here. For me, my recharging book is James. Pastor John explained to me was James is the meat and taters of the Bible. You know, you're getting off that spiritual milk and you need some meat and potatoes. To me, it's like every time if I start feeling myself, you know, drifting away a little bit, I read that and it's like, man, that's something I need to work on. Man, that's something else I need to work on. Man, I guess I need to work on the whole book. But everybody's got their thing. There's certain place in there that they read to get recharged. That James is mine. Okay, now, flashlights. Now, I've told a couple people that my sermon was going to be about me comparing us to flashlights, and this is the response, or the look I got. That's the overwhelming response. Flashlights? Where's Grammy at? This is especially for Grammy. But I got four of them here. We're going to go over each one of them. Each one of these is representing somebody in this church. I'll let you guys figure out who that is, but we're going to go over those flashlights. Okay, what powers us? What powers a flashlight? These flashlights all run off the exact same kind of battery. It's not a very big battery. It's little, very expensive. Yes, they're not cheap, but they're very bright, very powerful lights. Without the battery in it, it's just a hollow piece of metal or hollow piece of plastic. What charges us? The Holy Spirit. The Lord is what charges us. The Lord is what gives us our power. Now, those batteries are very expensive. You know, I got to pay a lot of money for those batteries, for those flashlights, especially they all take the same kind. Now, that Holy Spirit, how much do we have to pay for that? Nothing. Who paid for that? He paid it all. But I'm going to read you the ultimate payment on this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to start with Mark 15:37. This is all happening while he's on the cross, okay, right before he gave up his spirit and went to heaven. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last breath. Matthew 27:50. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Luke 23:46. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. And then the one that sums it all up, Luke 19:30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He paid for that, what powers us. He did. We didn't pay nothing. He did all the sacrificing. He paid it all. Okay. How long do these batteries last? I got a battery or a flashlight at home I used when I put wood in my wood burner. It takes like 4 or 6 little dinky AA batteries. I haven't changed the batteries in that thing in 3 years. I use that to knock the stuff off my poker for the fire thing, and I bang it, I throw it up against the wall when I'm done with it. I stick it on the door so I can see inside the wood burner, and there's smoke and heat coming out. I haven't changed the batteries in that thing for 3 years. These things right here, basically the one I use for hunting, I'll change the battery's nose twice a season, which is, you know, just a couple months. How long does our power source last? Forever. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't expire. It goes on forever. 2 Corinthians 4:6 reads, I'm sorry, take that back. John 10:27-30 reads, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. He is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. How does that should make you guys feel something tingly inside. Your salvation, the Holy Spirit in you, it's eternal. It can't be taken away from you. These batteries and these flashlights, they're going to go dead. They're eventually going to run out of power, and then you're going to have to throw them away. I do recommend you do not put them in fire. Don't throw them into a fire. I swear my wife tried to kill me twice by throwing the batteries in the burning thing. Yeah, out of nowhere, boom, ears ringing, having flashbacks. So that power source that we get from God, that lasts forever. So we have discussed what powers us. We have discussed how long it lasts. Now, what are we to do with this? Well, a flashlight is used for seeing. This one here is particularly used just for hunting. This one here is for somebody comes into my house. This one here is for hunting. This one here is for whenever I need two hands to do something and it's dark outside. But what are we to do with what we have? 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's story displayed in the face of Christ. He gives us tools. Each one of these has a particular way you use it and why it's used for. But we all have the same thing. We have different gifts. We have different tools. That's why we're going to get into this thing here. Some of us, it's witnessing. Some of us, it's teaching class on Wednesday night or teaching class Sunday mornings. It is cooking the lunch supper on Wednesday nights for a Good News Club. New ladies that cook the food for that. You guys, you got all them kids that you want red sauce, white sauce. You want hot dog bun? No hot dog bun. I mean, you want chips? You want fruit? You want this? You want that? And the little kids are just, you guys are saints. But it could be, you know, giving a sermon. It could be many, many things. So whatever those tools you have, you know, he wants you to use them. Okay, this is the part that I'm really the most excited about. We're going to start with this flashlight. Very bright. It's got a couple different modes. It's rugged. It's tough. I mean, it's a mean-looking flashlight. It's waterproof. It's even got this little clip. I mean, that clip looks awesome. I mean, it's, like I said, it's rugged, it's tough, you know, and it's a tough light. This had to be John Sander. I mean, it had to be. I mean, look at that clip. Look how tough it looks. Yeah. You know, John's got this very hard exterior. Anybody who knows John knows he's just big teddy bear. You know, this flashlight here, it's light. It works really good. It might look tough, might look mean, but it's a teddy bear flashlight. This light right here, it's very tiny, but it's very powerful. It's got, you know, nobody wants to get shining in the face with this light because it's bright. So you got this right here. So this flashlight's got like different moods. You got that, and you got that, and if you do it again, then it gets a little dimmer. It's sleek. It's very handy. This flashlight is always on my nightstand. It's always next to me. You put it in your pocket. Very handy. It's a very useful tool. You put it in your pocket and carry it all day long. Not to mention that it's a very good-looking flashlight. I have to say, it is a very attractive flashlight. So this one here, of course, is my wife. You know, her tools, you know, she's a small person. You guys know what she looks like. But we teach a Wednesday night class together, and she deals with little kids all day long. Well, we only have maybe at the most six in there. And she's sitting there so calm, just so calm. And they start getting rowdy, you know, my way of handling it is full blast. But she can skip that and go to this, and it works. You know, that's her gift, is to be able to calm down a room full of 30 screaming kids, okay? This one here. You can get a lot of work done with this. You freeze your hands up, okay? You can you wear it, you get a lot of work done. You can stay very, very, very busy with this thing. It's got different settings on it, too. This one's not very bright. Battery needs to be recharged in it. But it is a handy one to have, especially when you're trying to do a lot of work. Well, you guys can probably tell who like this is referring to. Jew Al with the suspenders. Any of you guys that know Al knows he does a lot of stuff around this church. He's been a trustee for a long time. The guy is constantly just back and forth, back and forth. Wednesday nights when his wife's up here teaching, he comes up here, he's checking the generator, he's checking the stair thing, and he's checking light bulbs, and he's just busy. You know, it's hard to do a lot of work when you got one hand constantly on a flashlight. But when you got something like this, you get a lot of stuff done. You got two hands. You know, that's a gift that Al has, is being of his hands and staying busy, you know. So this is you, Al. This one here. This one here is a little different. Actually, it's quite a bit different than the rest of them. This is not very good for, I say that, but it's not very good for up close. You know, you get out in the woods or something at nighttime, you try to use this light, you can't see nothing. Instead of it being like a fluorescent light, it's a laser. It's just not very, very good for up close stuff. But this light has got a 5-mile thing on it. If you can hit something at 5 miles, if you got a flat area of 5 miles, you can see this light. The field behind my house, I can run it. I think that field behind my house is a little over 80 acres. And I can run this all the way across the field, all the way across the other side, up the tree line to get to the top of the tree line where there's nothing else left to hit, and then you can't see it because there's nothing there to hit. So this thing here, this is a very good long distance light. Like I said, it's a little different than all the rest of them. So this is Brian. you guys, amen. Brian has got one of those voices that carry. When Brian walks into this church, you know he's here. When Brian sings, which you guys got to witness that, you can hear him from a distance. That is a gift that God has given him. If Brian had these little voices like this, you know, all my hope. You see how that works? It doesn't work out that way. You know, and he's the one that's sitting up here raising his hand. And amen. And that's Brian's gift, is his ability to sing, to reach out to people. Now, when I said it ain't good up close, I didn't mean that in a bad way, brother.
Oh, I know. Okay. I'm not very bright.
Okay. Oh. Thank you for that. Good sport. One more comparison. I don't have it here because I can't fit a lighthouse in the church. But look at Wade. You see Wade a long ways away. Wade's a very tall person. He's got one of those deep voices too. You know, people are really going to notice Wade. You know, and as Wade is going about his daily life, doing his business, doing his work, coming to church and stuff, people notice Wade. So if Wade is doing something he shouldn't be doing, people are going to notice that. So we should do our best every day when we have the Holy Spirit in us is to keep in mind that people are watching us, you know, all the time. Especially if they know that you have the Holy Spirit, they know you're a Christian and you're trying to live the right life. People are going to notice, even when you're not even paying attention to them, they're going to be noticing. So still try to make sure you have that light. It's constantly on and shining. What good is a flashlight if it doesn't have any batteries? This one here is going to be a big hunk of metal. Hunk of metal, doorway, plastic. Plastic and Al's suspenders. You know, they're not very useful if they don't have any batteries in them. We as Christians, if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, know, what good are we? What? How is God going to be able to use us if we don't have that in us? Matthew 7, 17 to 20 says, "Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you don't have a light to shine. You're not being useful to God. He wants us to have this Holy Spirit in us. He wants that light to burn bright in us, to show what we have, and to try to, you know, the whole purpose of it is to bring people to Him, to glorify Him in everything that we do. You are a light that God has turned on for the purpose of being seen. If you flip a light on in your house, you don't turn it on so you can't see. You turn it on so you can see. Flashlight. If you have a flashlight and you use it for hunting, you want it to be able to turn on when it's on. You don't turn it on to not be able to see. So when we have that Holy Spirit in us, that light should be on all the time so people can see the glorious things He can do with us. Let your light shine so that God may be glorified. I'm going to give you this is a closing history lesson. The song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." A lot of guys probably sang that song as you were kids. I didn't get to. I didn't grow up in the church, so I never get to sing that song. But that just seems to be the thing. Yeah, I remember hearing that song as a kid. I sang that song when I was a kid. Maybe you guys didn't know this about it. It's a traditional gospel song first recorded by musicologist John Lomax in 1939, but it was written by Harry Dixon Lowes in 1920. Can anybody in here sing the whole song? Anybody here know the entire song? Well, we're going to sing the whole thing today then. It's really long. Okay, closing verse. 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sins." Just give you an example of people that are constantly watching us. Years ago, there was a guy that I used to work with, and I'm sitting in the truck, and he knew I went to church. You know, and he was one of them guys that was constantly trying to catch me doing something because he wanted to. He wanted to discredit the way I was trying to live. And I'm in the truck doing paperwork, and this SUV pulled up in front of us, and these four young girls got out, summertime. And he comes up to the window, goes, "Hey, check them out." And I said, "I'm doing my paperwork. I don't need to look." He goes, "Oh, come on, man, just check them out, man. They're hot." I just kept my head down. So I basically told him, get away from me. Go clean up or something, you know. So I'm doing paperwork, and I can hear them out in the front yard giggling, laughing. And I ain't gonna lie, it wasn't easy. It wasn't like I was like, oh. It was, stay focused on here. You don't need to pick your head up. It ain't gonna get you nowhere. It ain't worth even picking your head up. So I did the paperwork, and I heard them as they were going off, and I heard the door of the house shut, so I knew they weren't outside no more. So I was, oh, I can fit the paperwork. Well, next thing you know, this kid jumps back up on the side of the truck, and he goes, "Hey, I want to apologize." I said, "Apologize for what?" He said, "I was sitting behind that tree watching you to see if you were going to look." He goes, "You didn't pick your head up one time." And I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't easy." But I said, you know, he gave me strength to not do it. And I said, you know, he was, after that day, it seemed like he quit trying to catch me and trying to catch me in lies or trying to discredit me. So, unfortunately, guys, there are people out there who will try to sneak, who will try to do stuff to get you to fail, just so they can jump on it, jump all over you. If you do happen to mess up, which everybody does, I do, you know, your reaction after that is really something that you got to make sure you do correctly. But make sure we're trying our hardest to keep that light shining, because there's a lot of people watching us, especially in this world now. There's a lot of people watching, you know, the Christian community. So make sure that we're keeping our light charged, we're using each other, we're loving each other, and we're keeping them lights charged. Cool? Okay. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for bringing everybody here today. Lord, I thank you that they all made it here safely. Lord, I ask that you watch over them as they go home. Let them return home safely. Lord, also we ask that you be with Pastor John and Sheila and all the other people that are in Jerusalem right now, Lord. Keep them safe. Let them have a good time. Let them have a recharging time, Lord. And just watch over them and bring them back home to us. Lord, I thank you for the word that we got to listen to today. Lord, I just pray that that we can use it and we can go out and burn as bright as we possibly can for you and glorify you in everything that we do. In your precious name we pray. Amen. O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Amen.